House, please come to order. Members indicate your presence by voting. Madam Clerk.
28 members present.
We do have a quorum to conduct business. Mr. Majority Leader.
Speaker, Mr. Weirach, who is previously excused, is here today, and there are no other excused absences.
Okay. There are no excused absences today. Leading the invocation this afternoon, hopefully it'll be a good prayer, is Representative Kevin Meyer. Members, please rise for the invocation.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Let us pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of serving this great state in the House of Representatives. We pray that you will give us the strength and wisdom to make the right decisions for the people of Alaska who have placed their trust in us to represent them. But let us not forget the children, the elderly, the poor, and those who are unable to communicate their needs to us. Please provide us with guidance as we continue our deliberations, for we are simply 40 representatives with 40 different opinions who are trying to do our very best for what is best for the state of Alaska. Help us remember the importance of the work that we do in these chambers and in our committee rooms, and how the decisions we make here today will mold and affect the future of our great state. Thank you for the freedom that we enjoy in this country. Please provide the strength, comfort, and courage to the men and women serving in our country, inside and outside of her borders. Keep them safe and bring them home soon. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Representative Moses, will you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Representative Dahlstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd ask that that very thoughtful, beautiful prayer be spread across the journal.
Without objection, then, that prayer will be spread across the journal. Madam Clerk, would you certify the journal for the previous legislative days?
I certify the journal for the 25th day of the second special session.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the journal of the 25th legislative day be approved as certified by the Chief Clerk.
Without objection, then, the journal as presented by the Chief Clerk will be certified. Are there guests for introduction? Okay, nobody wants to introduce Michael Hurley back there in the back, so we'll not do that. Are there messages from the governor?
Message dated June 3rd, stating the governor has signed the following and transmitted the engrossed and enrolled copies to the lieutenant governor's office for permanent filing. Committee substitute for Senate Bill 237 Finance, additional judges and judges' salaries, chapter number 51, SLA 2006. I have no other messages from the governor, Mr. Speaker.
Madam Clerk, do you have any messages from the other body?
A message dated June 4th, 2006 was received stating the Senate has passed and transmitted for consideration committee substitute for Senate Bill number 2002, Judiciary.
2002 gets a quick referral to the Judiciary Committee.
I have no further messages from the other body.
Madam Clerk, do you have any communications?
I have no communications.
Are there any reports of standing committees?
The Judiciary Committee has considered House Bill number 2003, Natural Gas Pipeline Corporation, with the committee substitute forthcoming, attached two previous fiscal notes, signing Dupass, Wilson, Anderson, no recommendation, Coghill, Cott, Gruenberg, McGuire, amend, Guerra. The report was signed by Representative McGuire, Chair. House Bill 2003 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Resources Committee considered House Bill 2004, Stranded Gas Development Act Amendments, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 2004 Resources with the same title, attaches two previous fiscal notes, signing Dupass, Crawford, No recommendation. Kapsner, Olson, Seaton, Elkins, Ledoux, Amend, Gatto, Samuels, Ramirez. The report was signed by Representative Samuels and Ramirez, co-chairs. House Bill 2004 has a further referral to the Judiciary Committee. I have no further committee reports.
Are there any special committee reports?
I have no special committee reports.
Are there any resolutions or citations to be introduced?
I have no citations or resolutions.
Are there any bills for introduction?
I have no bills for introduction.
Boy. That brings us down to consideration of the daily calendar. Madam Clerk, would you please read the very first item on today's agenda?
House Bill 2002 is in the Judiciary Committee.
Let's read the next item on today's agenda.
House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 2001, Finance, an act relating to the production tax on oil and gas and to conservation surcharges on oil, relating to criminal penalties for violating conditions governing access to and use of confidential information relating to the production tax, amending the definition of gas as that definition applies in the Alaska Stranded Gas Development Act, making conforming amendments, and providing for an effective date. The bill's in third reading.
You ready for the question? Question is.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, before we get started, I'd like to ask for a point of personal privilege.
Point of personal privilege. Representative Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I'd like to declare a conflict of interest on the issue before us. And with permission, I'd like to describe my conflict.
There is an objection but you can describe it if you wish.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I'd like to put on record, as I did last time we dealt with this issue, that that I am currently on a leave without pay from ConocoPhillips, who will be and would be directly impacted by whatever action we take on this issue.
Mr. Meyer, there is an objection to your asking to be excused from this vote. You'll be required to vote. Anybody else want to state anything? You don't really have to. Very good. I'll just note for the record, the last time we did this, Representative Hawker stood up and mentioned that he had a member of his family that was also employed by the oil industry, so he's not here right now, but I'll put that on the record, too, so that in case if anybody
Mr. Speaker,
concerned about that. Representative Jewell.
I didn't do this last time, but I probably should have. I represent several native corporations that do business with oil companies.
Yeah. I work for one of them. Okay. So now, Representative Chenault.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. If we're going to go that far, I have in the past and presently do work for the oil industry at times, and I also have probably five, maybe six relatives that are in the oil industry, whether they are in Cook Inlet or on the North Slope. So I'd ask to be excused.
There is an objection. Without, so we don't go on at all about this. I think everybody here either benefits by or has some kind of relationship with oil and gas or something in the state. So everybody's going to be required to vote. Okay, Representative Kelly, do you want to offer an amendment? Huh? Well, he has to get up and make the motion, so see if he can do it.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that we return to second reading for purposes of offering a specific amendment, and that being amendment number one.
No objection. We're back in second reading now for the purposes of a specific amendment, and I'm going to also make the ruling we're going to stay in second reading until all of the amendments are disposed of. So, Representative Kelly.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to call the House.
Oh, there's an objection to going back?
I may.
Representative Hawker, you want to state your objection?
Yes, Mr. Speaker. Just in the order of the way to take up amendments, the purpose of going back for the purpose of the first specific amendment, I'd ask if the maker of the motion to go back to second would contemplate dealing with the base issue first, which is the fundamental tax rate, and deal with the progressivity as a second or amendment after we discuss the base tax rate.
As a matter of fact, I'm going to make that ruling. Representative Kelly, instead of amendment number one, I'm going to ask you to offer amendment number two, which is listed as amendment number two, as the first amendment offered.
Mr. Speaker,
is your objection to going back to second then withdrawn?
The objection is
withdrawn, Mr. Speaker. Okay, we're in second reading for the purposes of a specific amendment, that being amendment number two on your desks. Representative Kelly.
Mr. Speaker, we are now in back in second, so I will just
you need to move the amendment
straight
now.
Away move the amendment number two.
There is an objection. Representative Kelly, you want to speak to your amendment?
And, Mr. Speaker, I don't know whether you heard me or not, but I'd like to call the House.
There is a call placed on the House. As we wait for the call to be satisfied, President Kelly, you want to begin your debate.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We've debated these issues back and forth and spent hours and hours, and there's nothing that appears on this page that is a mystery to anyone. I think we all know what the rates are. That is my belief that the rate of 20%, which was offered in the governor's bill, the administration's bill, is far too low. We've had hired consultants, high-powered consultants from all over the world with great experience in these matters, and they have told us that for purposes of a rate that even in the 25% rate area, that it's a very reasonable rate, does not place us above government take rates that other competitive countries have as part of their government take on the oil tax situation. And so I think with that, Mr. Speaker, I believe 23.5 would be a very conservative rate, particularly when we are addressing the fact that this will apply also to the legacy fields, where we've been told by those same consultants that perhaps a rate that might be more effective and would not harm the investment climate may be as high as in the 30% range. So I think 23.5 is a very conservative rate given the professional advice we have received, Mr. Speaker, and I would urge the body's support for that. We've heard a lot of input from the industry for and those folks I have a great deal of respect. They've got the best professionals in the world here trying to convince us to keep the rate as low as possible. I'd like to just on the as far as some representation from the average Alaskan and from our next generation say that under the Constitution we've got an obligation to maximize the return on our natural resources. This is a conservative approach, and I'd urge the body's support.
Is there other debate? Representative Samuels.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to offer an amendment to amendment number 2. And I have it in writing, or I can just say it. It's pretty simple if you'd like.
I'll just offer it verbally at this point.
On lines 3 and 7, delete 23.5 and insert 21.75.
There is an objection to the amendment to the amendment.
I'm shocked.
Representative Samuels.
Thank you. To the amendment, Mr. Speaker. I'd get permission to speak about something which is not germane to this.
I'll give you a little bit of leeway since we probably will have that anyway here. Go ahead.
A little bit of latitude, okay. Yesterday in the House Resources Committee, one of the concerns has been that we're going to lock this rate in. And in the Resources Committee, the committee determined that until project sanction came, or full project funding, you can go through whatever the terminology are, but nothing can be locked in whatsoever. And if we change the rate between now and that date, which in best case scenario is 5 or 6 years from now, that rate that we changed to would be the rate which you could then lock into a contract. I don't see the political will at all to go back on that decision. And if that bill fails to pass, then we're right back right now where there is no locking in mechanism whatsoever. So back to the amendment. To the amendment is when I look at the economy of the state of Alaska, and at current prices, and I know the representative from Spinard is going to disagree a little bit with me even on this, but the Econ 1 numbers said that at $70 a barrel, we were somewhere in the $2.5 billion range. But even if they're off by quite a bit and you're in $1.5 billion to $2 billion range, you're going to take that money. You've got the potential of a reserves tax coming at you. And when the spending stops, if you shoot too high coming out of the chute, if you're not going to lock it in, the implications to the economy are going to be not seen. The spending levels of the companies that do business here and their vendors, the people that actually do the drilling and the work and ASRC and NANA and all the rest of them, if you shoot too high, the spending will simply start to slow down. And I think by the time that you get it and the reputation of the state is, they're a little too high, we're going to run the economics somewhere else. That if we get a chance to look and let's make sure that PPT works, fundamentally speaking, are the credits right,
You know, did the spending go up? Did the spending go down? What happened to the production levels? We get a chance to look at it without taking the chance of hurting the industry. We'll see if high prices become a paradigm shift or if they do not become a paradigm shift. And I would hope the body would say that let's take a look at this brand new structure. The progressivity, as I stated in the last time I spoke on this, which seems like about a lifetime ago, progressivity is something that I think that the members of the first committee of the referral in this body, the House Resource Committee, should be very, very proud of. The fact that at high prices, we're going to take a whole lot more. And at current prices, I believe the numbers, and economists being what they are, somewhere between $600 and $800 million extra on top of what the administration's plan started out being. So we're already at current prices taking a big chunk more money. But let's see, without taking the chance of hurting the economy, what happens to the price of oil, how the new system works. Because once you start to hurt the economy, I don't think you'll see it coming. And the legislative process being what it is, no good people or bad people, the legislative process being what it is very slow to react to these things. The political arena can take quite some time to react, and quite frankly, it could be a little bit too late. So with that, I'll close down. So if somebody wants the amendment in writing, that's fine, but lowering it to 21 3/4, I seems like everybody will be mad again. That was my comment the last time, so we can all go home mad.
Is there other debate to the amendment to the amendment? It's pretty basic. You ready for the question? The question is, shall the amendment to the amendment, actually it's amendment number one, the amendment to amendment number one pass the House? Members, please vote. Madam Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
14 yeas, 26 nays.
And so with a vote of 14 yeas and 26 nays, the amendment to amendment number one has failed to pass the House. It brings us back to amendment number one as presented. Is there any other debate on amendment number one? Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall amendment number one pass the House? Members, please vote. Madam Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
23 yeas, 17 nays.
So the vote of 23 yeas and 17 nays, amendment number one has passed the House. Madam Clerk, do you have any other amendments?
I have amendment number one by Representatives Kelly, Berkowitz, Seaton, Wilson, Stoltz, Petula, and Guerra.
This will be amendment number two, actually. At ease. House, come back to order. Representative Wyrock. There's a motion to adjourn. Sign you to aye. You ready for the question? Question is, shall the House adjourn? Sign you to aye. Members, please vote.
We have to get they need a second.
Mr. Speaker?
Representative Crop?
May I have an at ease?
No.
You can figure
it out. At ease is eligible. Now let's come back to order. There is an objection to the motion to adjourn, sine die. You ready for the question? The question is, shall the House adjourn, sine die? Members, please vote. Madam Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
6 yeas, 34 nays.
So the vote is 6 yeas and 34 nays. A motion to adjourn, signed aye, has failed to pass the House. Brings us back to amendment number 2. Representative Kelly.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Amendment number 2.
Remove the amendment, please.
I will move amendment number 2.
There is an objection. Representative Kelly.
Amendment number 2, which has got number 1 on the handout. What this relates to, the version on this one is 24/GS2094/X. And what this would do, Mr. Speaker, is return the progressivity to the same values that we passed out of this body, seems like some time back. But it was a very good progressivity. It essentially had come out of the Resources Committee as a gross, on the gross value. It was then changed to the to be calculated on the net, and of course this would still be on the net value, but it's very close to the same curve in generating income for the state as the as was the one that came out of House Resources. This one went through House Finance and then passed the floor. So it's by all of the advice that we received from our consultants, this was a good, relatively conservative progressivity when you consider that one of the consultants suggested that we may go as high as 37.5% on progressivity and that we might kick it in as low as $30 a barrel on the gross. And just one point to make, this would actually have a roughly a WTI or ANS West of around $50 a barrel. The values on lines 6 and 7, which state 45 and 35, this would move it from 45 or roughly $60 a barrel down to 45 or roughly $50 a barrel. The problem with with moving the progressivity trigger point is that the oil companies have spent quite a bit of time demonstrating to us that the sweet spot or the P20, P80 area that they're operating in is somewhere with about a 40 center point and from 30 to 50 in range. If we pass, if we leave this the way it is now, we move that trigger point out to around $60 a barrel. There's a big gap there where we are not recovering what we should be recovering for the state of Alaska, and that's part of what we're trying to fix with this PPT. So, Mr. Speaker, I would encourage that we adopt this amendment number 2, which would bring us back to that rate and the steep the trigger point. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Other debate? Representative Hawker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's been a long, long road here. You know, and I quite honestly believe we've talked long enough about the numbers that are before us. But just some points to this before I make this vote that I'd certainly appreciate sharing with you, sir. And that's I've learned some things along the way here in this debate. You know, I think one of the things I've learned in this whole debate as if there are so many things that I will never be able to know, including I will never be able to know what the right tax rates are, what the right progressivity curve is. The only thing that will possibly tell us what the right number is the passage of time. When we find out if we have stifled our industry, if we have closed off exploration development, and if we have restricted our economy. On the other hand, we may not have the high enough numbers here, and we may have everything that we hope for and more, and the oil and gas companies may walk away with extra dollars that we could have extracted from them. I will never know. But some things I do know, my life experience, is that we have nowhere government has ever taxed an industry into productivity. Sitting before us is a significant increase in taxes. What will be the consequences on progressivity, or productivity? I don't know. You know, I do know that the House Finance version of the bill that was before us, that was before we amended it today, increased these production taxes 250% at today's prices. 250%. Is that too much? Is that not enough? I don't know, but that's a pretty big number. I do know that the production of our oil fields on the North Slope has been declining and is declining. We have a precipitous decline. Right now, you know, we've been declining at an average of between 6 and 7%. Productivity decline. That's been masked by these marvelous high oil prices. But we have dropped in the course of a very few years from 2 million barrels a day production to now where we're looking at 800 and we're looking at 800 drop into the compound rate of 6% a year. That doesn't leave us with an awful lot if we make a mistake and overtax industry. But I do also know, is that what this exercise is really all about. It's about finding the level of pain tolerance that industry can handle, that we can extract that money from them without compromising our future economy. That's our balancing act here. We want to take as much as we can get without compromising the future development exploration we know we have to have to deal with that declining production curve. Something else I know. I also know that when we find that pain tolerance, that pain, you know, we can say it's real easy for us to talk about slapping around the biggest companies in the world because, you know, everybody knows that, you know, they're all part of the evil empire. But I do know that that pain, when it gets right down to the folks at home, that pain is measured in terms of Alaska jobs. It's measured in terms of their families, the human lives that they interact with. That pain is measured by everybody that has something in this state to sell to them, everybody that's a teacher putting their kids through school. Everyone in this state is going to feel part of that pain. What we're searching for is our pain tolerance. How much pain can we inflict on industry in this state? You know, I've struggled with this. I've struggled mightily with this. And I found a balance myself that I thought was a fairly common sense balance. Balance that, remember when these bills came before us, there was no progressivity in these bills. It was just a flat out plateau, level taxes, level credits. That wasn't acceptable either. Again, that's an area, that's part of the pain we needed to go into, because you know what, the higher prices, we can inflict a little more pain on the industry without having too painful consequences on the people of the state of Alaska. But how much is too much? I'm not certain. At this point, I would much rather err on the side of caution and not take the risk of putting jobs, lives, the future exploration, the future revenue base of this state at risk beyond the level that we came forward with House Finance Committee version. I really believe it struck an appropriate balance, and I would ask the body to look deep into their soul, Mr. Speaker, and find the same compassion for the people of this state and the same fear of taking too much, causing too much pain, and let's take a responsible, conservative approach to this amendment, recognizing that if we come back, we're going to be back, some people are going to be back here next year, and we always have the chance to address these issues to the future. But I would be very hesitant about taking too much, too fast, all too quickly here. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Other debate, Representative Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And Mr. Speaker, as you know, I normally don't talk on these issues, but I think I can maybe shed some new light here. Obviously, I support the lower tax rate, and so did the majority of the House Finance members, the 2020. That has now been amended, so now we're dealing with the progressivity rate. And again, I would support the progressivity rate that we passed at House Finance. And I keep hearing consistently that our consultants say, well, yeah, you know, we can tax more, we can tax up to 25%, and it won't impact our current investments, our current or existing investments. But I would plead with this body that we don't want status quo. Status quo is on the decline. We want more investment in this state. We want to offset the decline. And if it wasn't for high oil prices right now, at today's current oil production rates, we would be dipping into the CBR. We would be talking about permanent fund earnings. We'd be talking about income tax. The only thing saving us is the high oil prices. We are definitely in the decline. And the only way we're going to offset the decline is to get more investment. There's several ways to do that. The three that have come up through all these hearings is that, first of all, we need more exploration. Well, we don't have much exploration going on. You know, ConocoPhillips has got a few and Pioneer, and that's about it. We got heavy oil, all sorts of heavy oil out there. Westsac, Agnew, large accumulations, anywhere between 10 to 20 billion barrels in place. But it's going to take money. It's going to take investment to get that heavy oil. The other method is to simply try to squeeze more through enhanced oil recovery from Prudhoe and Kuparuk. Again, in order to do that, it's going to take more investment, more money. But you're not going to get more investment if we keep raising the taxes. And we did it here with the tax rate, and now we're talking about doing it here with the progressivity. And I think we forget that the production tax alone is only one piece of what we get from the industry. We get royalties. In fact, royalties we ought to be talking about. Royalties, we get more in royalties than we do in production tax. And 25% of that royalty goes into the permanent fund. So if we truly want to protect the future of the permanent fund dividend, we would want to increase oil production because that puts more money into the permanent fund, hence more money for our permanent fund dividend. But again, if you don't have that investment, you're not going to have that money going into royalties, you're not going to get the property tax, you're not going to get the income tax. So we need to be careful. And one of the only consultants that I will agree with is the one that said all of our numbers are wrong, because they are. But if they're wrong, and we got this one source, this one industry that's providing 85% of our revenue, we want to err on the conservative side, because we have nothing to replace or offset that. Tourism, fishing, just doesn't do it. So I would just caution this body that to try not to get out of hand here and to try to keep the overall tax rate as low as possible. Thank you.
The debate, Representative Wilson.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. In my little corner of the world, we have seen what economic hard times are for quite some time now. And I really wouldn't want the whole state to see that. And I think everybody can think back to 85 and know what it was like during that time for this state. And we don't want to inadvertently have something like that happen again. And like was mentioned before, you know, that happens slowly. You don't always see it when as it approaches. And by the time we have time to react, sometimes it's too late. And I put my name on that amendment when it was 2020. And now that it's not 2020 any longer, I'd like my name removed from that amendment. And I just want everyone to realize if our economy goes into a tailspin, it's devastating for everyone. And that's our constituents. So we really need to think what we're doing here. Thank you.
Other debate? Representative Chenault? Sir?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I wholeheartedly agree with all three of the previous speakers, as a matter of fact. I'll draw on some of my own, and that's from the Cook Inlet. When you see a declining basin, you start seeing declining employment. And as that employment declines, you start seeing stores closing up. You start seeing schools getting smaller and actually having to close schools because of student population. I think that what came out of House Finance was a reasonable number, not only in the tax, but also the progressivity. From status quo to what was originally brought to the floor today would more than double at today's, well, and it's actually not at today's price, but at $68 price, would more than double the revenue. And we talk about taxes, and it is a tax, but what we're really talking about is revenue to the state of Alaska and how much more revenue the state of Alaska should receive for our oil and our gas. But what the House Finance Bill did was, in fact, double what we currently receive today. And when we talk about what effect it has on the economy, you know, I can speak to how many guys I used to have work for me in the Cook Inlet, in my construction company, and I could tell you how many I have today. And they're nowhere near that same number. Now, some of that is because things have changed. Maybe it's because I'm here and not at home working. But the numbers have drastically changed. I can go to any contractor on the peninsula, and I can probably show you where they've all lost employees. And where do those employees go? If they're not here and they're not in Anchorage, they've went somewhere else. The stores that I speak of, and I know it's kind of probably a slap in the face, but Kenai is one of the larger cities on the Kenai Peninsula. And I can tell you, until just here recently, you couldn't buy a pair of underwear in the city of Kenai. You actually had to drive from where I live 30 miles to buy a pair of shorts. Now, you know, that's kind of humorous, but it would be like the people in the valley having to drive to Anchorage to buy all of their goods. And it has to do with declining investment and declining production in the Cook Inlet Basin. And we've done our best to try to incentivize, as production levels drop, to try to incentivize more exploration and more production. And that's what this bill is intended to do, is one, to bring us back more money for our resources, and two, to incentivize investment to continue to receive that revenue source. And you know, if we think that the oil industry is going to pull out of here because the tax rate's too high, they're not going to leave. I mean, anybody that says that's kidding themselves. But what they will do, as already been stated, is they will continue to determine where the best investment for their money is, whether it's here or somewhere else. And if the tax rate is too high, if the progressivity curve is too high, they will indeed take their money elsewhere, and that in turn lowers the revenues that the state of Alaska will receive and the money that we have available to be able to spend on our constituents in other areas of the state that need help and for our roads and so on. So I would speak to not accept the amendment, Mr. Speaker. Thank you.
Other debate? Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think we need to get back and look at what this amendment does. First of all, this amendment, and in fact progressivity, only occurs at historic high oil prices. That's the only time it comes into effect, and the effect of this is as a separate item which returns a little more money to the state at extremely high oil prices. And this amendment that we have is based on the net, and this is profit. And what we've got to do is, if you look at line 6 and line 7, you can see that what we're saying is we're going to guarantee the oil company that they get to take all of their costs off and they get a profit of $35 a barrel if this amendment is accepted before this will ever impact anything. Before any increases, we have to have $35 a barrel profit to the oil company. Now, if you think back just a couple of years ago, $35 would be a total oil price, a gross oil price that we would have been liking. Without the amendment, we are guaranteeing, as on line 6, that there will be a profit of $45 to the company before progressivity ever kicks in. That's an extremely high amount of profit before progressivity starts. And so I think it's very important for us to realize that. If we talk about heavy oil or if we talk about costly exploration, remember all those costs are subtracted. If we had a heavy oil operation that would cost $30 a barrel to extract the oil, that would all be taken off. Add that to $35. You're talking about $65 comparative oil prices before this would ever kick in. So I think we need to remember what this tax does and where it kicks in, and that we are guaranteeing these good profits before this would ever occur. And so I'd support the amendment.
Another debate? You ready for the question? Rep. St. Kelly?
Mr. Speaker, and wrap up very quickly. Someone had mentioned earlier they're not the evil empire, and that is certainly true. We're every day reminded in one way or another and in our families and on our streets how important the oil industry is to us. But a couple of points in wrap-up. The tax rate, by anybody's definition, has been very favorable in the past, very stable in the past. And as we look up north, we don't see where, in many instances, it incented a heck of a lot of investment. Even though it was in the basement, and even though we've lost a billion plus along the way because we left it down there too long. The thing that has incented investment is price. The price went up, whether it's the price of gold that has the miners afield or the price of oil. That's what puts them in the field primarily, and they will tell you that as well. The other thing is we put in an extremely generous set of credits, both for the little guys and for the big guys, that should help that situation. And as the previous speaker mentioned, we're not talking in this progressivity about being down in the gross or where they've already recovered their costs. The costs are way back in the rearview mirror. So this is not something that is going to be. We've constantly received advice that this is very conservative. So I would urge you to approve Amendment Number 2. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Any other debate? You ready for the question? The question is, shall Amendment Number 2 pass the House? Members, please vote. Madam Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
23 yeas, 17 nays.
So with a vote of 23 yeas and 17 nays, Amendment Number 2 has passed the House. Madam Clerk, do you have any other amendments?
I have new Amendment Number 3 by Representatives K. Kelly, Berkowitz, Seaton, Skultz, and Gardner.
Representative Kelly.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll move amendment number three.
There's an objection, Representative Kelly.
New amendment number three places a floor below which the tax rate cannot fall. In other words, it can't go to zero on the north slope. It leaves in place the fact that the tax rate can go to zero south of 68 degrees latitude. And what this does, it's a conservative rate. It's 4%. It says that when the prices drop and the rate comes down, when it's no longer about investment, but about recovering some of the value under the severance tax, that the tax on the north slope won't go below 4%. And I think the concept has been well explained both in committee and on the floor before. And I think a lot of Alaskans would take comfort in having a floor where a price below which the tax will not fall. Talked to the oil companies, and they've explained that one particular company explained that when prices drop like that dramatically, that folks are laid off, there's a lot of cost cutting going on, and in fact the relative profit sometimes will in those cases tend to creep back up on a per barrel basis, and that probably the floor is not really necessary. It probably is not something that will be used. To which I respond, okay, then it probably isn't going to hurt anything. But I think it gives a lot of Alaskans comfort to know that if it dives down in price, that it won't go clear in the dirt, but it'll stop it and level off at the 4%. So I would urge approval of a new amendment number three.
Other debate? Representative Cott?
Hey, Mr. Speaker, I'm not sure if the maker of the amendment has missed something here, but on line it says for producers of over 75,000 of oil. I'm not sure if there's a word missing there, but Mr. Speaker, what this also does, it gets toward the what's good for the goose, good for the gander idea, and that is right now there are two companies that are operating in Alpine. Under this scenario, one of the companies would benefit and one of the companies would not benefit. And I think this is patently unfair. It seems like if there's a value to this, it should be passed on to all the companies equally.
Brief and easy. House, come back to order. Go, but I do. All right, I think we got everybody back in here now. Hope everybody's bladder's empty. So here we go. We have another amendment. Amendment number three, Representative Kelly.
Yes, Mr. Speaker.
You moved the amendment already?
I did, and we talked about it.
Okay, all right.
And then what I need to do, though, Mr. Speaker, is the fourth line up from the bottom, as the representative behind me pointed out, between 75,000 and the word of, in the fourth line up from the bottom, insert barrels.
All right, is there any objection to that amendment? The amendment? Seeing none, that amendment to the amendment will pass. Brings us back in front of us, new amendment number three as amended. Is there any other debate? Representative Crawford?
Talking to some of the members here, there's been a little bit of confusion about what this actually does. And if you notice that it's based on a credit or a portion of a credit, and what this does is it keeps the companies from reducing their tax liability below 4% of the gross on their credits, not on their 20% or 23.5% tax, but on the credits. They never lose their credits. They just have to wait till a subsequent month or a year when the price goes back up where they can use those credits. This is a very important amendment, because if prices fall to the point where this kicks in, this helps the state keep from being caught at such low prices that they can't, that we can't afford to keep on paying for government. This helps with a couple of $100 million per year to just keep things going, so that our production tax doesn't fall to zero. That doesn't mean that any of these companies will lose their credits. They always stay good. They just have to wait until a subsequent year when the prices are up enough that they can take those credits. Thank you.
Another debate. Representative Cott. Representative Roper.
Mr. Speaker, I'm not at all familiar with this. I recall some conversations in certain committees over the past months regarding it, but I haven't seen any fiscal analysis to see its actual effect. As I recollect, there was discussions about where the incidents would occur at such things as crossover points, at various slopes and rates when you chart something, but I'm not sure what the 4% represents, or particularly as a credit. So I think we're flying blind here in the one sense, and one thing we've tried to do here, particularly in the second go-around, is make sure people had on their desks, even though they didn't participate in the committees, that the numbers in which they could make a judgment about whether this is valid or not, at what point an impact it has on the entire taxing scheme. So we're missing that here in its entirety. So I would ask the maker of the amendment, at what effect is this, is it a particular rate on a BOE equivalency in terms of what price of oil would that be? And he's stated something to the effect of, well, there was a comment here on the floor about a couple $100 million. We haven't seen those numbers, and I'd be most curious to find out what those numbers are. Particularly given the fact, Mr. Speaker, we have the concept of progressivity, and the fact is we were trying not to be regressive. And one thing we have in our system right now is corporate income taxes, royalties, ad valorem taxes, and bonuses, which are regressive. So we're just piling on here again. So we're getting our cake and eating it too. How can we incent people to invest when we're doing a regressive act? And I think that's what this is. But I'm not even sure what the numbers mean here, so I need some explanation.
Representative Cott? Any other debate? Representative Hawker?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In addition to the previously discussed inequity in application to different partners, literally enjoining joint activities, and the unknown financial consequences, the whole argument that I heard to this amendment, Mr. Speaker, was that it was to create a floor, to protect the state and the area of low prices, some kind of tax floor. Well, we've overlooked the entire context of our oil and gas tax code that includes other components that make up our tax floor. Again, this, remember, so we're dealing with severance taxes here. Severance taxes are but one component of our tax floor. In even the lowest of price scenarios, we still have royalties. Royalties, give or take the particular agreement, but we're talking 12.5% on gross of royalties still coming in. We're talking about an income tax structure, and our state income tax structure taxes worldwide earnings of corporations. We make it a point that when Alaska suffers, we go out and grab money from the rest of the world. We've got a floor there of 9.4%. We've got property tax structures across this state that I don't have the percentage right off the top of my head, but paying property taxes is another material component of the money we take in at any price level. Likewise, local jurisdictions have their own taxing regimes, including sales tax. We do have an adequate floor. The whole point in this case of the potential in a very low-priced oil situation of the one component, that is the severance tax, the production severance tax component, dropping to a zero. Yes, there is that possibility. But when that happens, we're going to be in a low oil price environment where not only the state is struggling to make our ends meet, but industry is struggling to stay alive, and industry is trying to keep the lights on those oil wells and just keep operating here. So, again, this is, finding that balance where we can create a, a business environment in the state of Alaska that's sufficiently attractive to get done what we need to get done to keep our production, our oil fields working, and our state revenue flowing without taxing beyond the point that industry is able to function here and accomplish the goals we're setting. So I would respectfully ask you very seriously consider, Mr. Speaker, of not supporting this amendment. Thank you, sir.
Other debate? Representative Crawford?
Mr. Speaker, I've tried to answer some of those questions. It seems to me like we've all got some pretty short memories around here. We only have to go back just 3 years to see when we had a severance tax of 7.5%. That's about the average of what the ELF was bringing in then. We had a huge shortfall. The royalty and corporate income tax, they were in effect then as well. But what would happen under this new PPT tax at some point, nobody seems to really know where that crossover point is, but it's at some point, somewhere between $30 and $40 a barrel, we're gonna go down to much less than what we're collecting today. Now this floor at 4% would bring in about half of what we're presently collecting today. And like I said before, they don't lose those credits. They just have to lengthen out the time until the prices go up and they can take those credits at a later date. This just helps us as kind of a bridge loan to help get us through a time when we're really in a bind as a state to just meet our basic expenses.
Other debate? You ready for the question? Question is, shall amendment number three, new amendment number three, as amended, pass the House? Members, please vote. Madam Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Representative Rammers? Representative Rammers from Yay Today. Any other member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
23 yeas, 17 nays.
So the vote of 23 yeas and 17 nays, new amendment number three, as amended, has passed the House. Madam Clerk, do you have any other amendments?
I have new amendment number four by Representative Chenault.
Representative
page 39, line 10.
Representative Chenault.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move amendment four.
No objection. Amendment number four has passed the House. Madam Clerk, do you have any other amendments?
Amendment number five by Representative Ramos, page 9, line 1.
Representative Ramos.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move amendment number five.
There is an objection, Representative Rammers.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I've been pretty quiet through this debate now and a month ago. It's been a fascinating thing to watch and to see it unfold, Mr. Speaker, and I'm very sensitive to how we assert our taxing right over the oil industry and what the consequences of that will be. But one of the things that I am mindful of from the very first time that we took up PPT and resources, which now is, I think, going on 3 months ago, is the issue of corporate citizenship. And there are different ways to evaluate corporate citizenship in the social giving, the charitable giving that we have seen demonstrated by our friends at BP and ConocoPhillips. And some of the smaller, newer companies to Alaska have set rather exemplary records of how they have contributed to our state. Another way to measure corporate citizenship, since this is a resource that belongs to all of us and it's subject to lease development, is what have these oil companies contributed to our economy? And that seems to be the focal point of the debate that we are not only having today, but we've had for some considerable period of time. When it comes to the Point Thomson unit, I believe that we are on our 22nd plan of development, and nothing has happened. That value, all these jobs, all this economic activity, that regardless of which side of the debate you're on, that's a great deal of what I have heard today and in previous days. But one thing is for sure, if you don't drill, if you don't explore, if you leave that resource sitting in the ground, there are no jobs, there's no money, nothing goes into the permanent fund, nobody buys a house, no roads are built, no schools are filled, nothing happens. And that has been particularly the result, I think, of the gross mismanagement by the lessee, the controlling lessee, which is ExxonMobil, the most sophisticated, powerful corporation on this earth in the history of civilization. And frankly, I've had enough. I don't like being harvested. I don't like being treated like a colony. I don't enjoy doing business with somebody that never gives anything back to these people, to this state. There's nothing. When they came to resources, they came with a piece of paper. They read a statement. There wasn't even a need for them to show up. My friends that I respect greatly at Conoco and BP, they came with graphs, they came with charts, they came with their own vision statement, which they asserted things. I watched the majority, the minority, those in favor of higher rates, lower rates. I saw a good, clean dialogue, fight, debate, argument, battle, ultimately a vote. Exxon never showed up. They haven't showed up since I was a kid, and they're not showing up now. And as a result, as we put together this PPT, 2020, 23.520, above the 68th degree, you know, Nenana Basin, Bristol Bay, Cook Inlet, I don't want the state to subsidize $1 billion or $2 billion of known, proven gas and oil reserves, the gas treatment plant. I've had enough. And so I've introduced this amendment. I understand some of the risks as this PPT goes over to the other body that this incurs. I know we're not supposed to talk about other legislation, but methawana, we all saw it happen going the other way, and I understand that there is some risk incurred by attaching a Point Thompson amendment to a PPT when we're all in pursuit of a concurrence and going home. Mr. Speaker, I've never read, but I'd like just permission just to read just a brief paragraph, if I may.
Without objection.
This is from Mr. Eason's report. You know, one of the remarkable things to me that has been happening in the last few days, which I find just generally abhorrent, is that we spend all this money on all these consultants, and the biggest phrase that gets thrown around is, all the numbers are wrong. I've heard that 100 times, I've heard it 1,000 times. Well, not all the numbers are wrong. I've learned a lot from these consultants. They've sat for 10 painful days at Centennial Hall, and we got a couple hours with them in the Butrovich room, and then we got a follow-up. Today I saw some written responses to the verbal question and answer period that we had with them. And we are setting policy before we even have the opportunity to read the reports and to digest them from our consultants. And so Mr. Eason's report, I had waiting for me today. It's the first time I've seen it. I read it about, 10 times today to try and get a good feel for his chronology of what happened at Point Thompson. And the paragraph that I'd like to read, Mr. Speaker, is from page 36 of his summary. And it says, some of these costs are additive, in quotes, in that they have the effect of increasing the state's apparent contribution in the funding of certain elements of the ANS gas pipeline project. For example, certain facilities for which the state is committed to pay 20% of the cost as an owner in the project under the Alaska Stranded Gas draft contract will also qualify under the PPT for 20% capital investment credits as well as for deductions for operating costs. Well, I've had enough with Exxon. And I'm in business, and I want to be able to deduct my costs, but I'm not going to quietly let them take the credits in addition. It's just not right. It doesn't set well with me. So with that, I strongly urge this body to vote yes for amendment number 5. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Is there another debate? Representative Roper?
Speaker, I wonder if the maker of the amendment would be willing to accept a friendly amendment by adding only those members of the unit that have more than 36% of the participating interest.
Other debate? Representative Amherst?
I would need a brief at ease, Mr.
Brief
Speaker.
At ease.
That's what they pay you the extra $500 a year for, right here. Okay. Any other debate on amendment number 5? You ready for the question? Representative Ramos?
Yes, I need to add make an amendment to the amendment and insert the word on line 18, page 2. Right after the brackets of 19, insert the word capital. So it says capital costs related to a gas processing plant.
Is there any objection to that? Hearing none, the amendment to the amendment has passed. Brings us back to the amendment before us as amended. Is there any other debate on amendment number 5 as amended? You ready for the question? The question is, shall amendment number 5 as amended pass the House? Members, please vote. Madam Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
20 yeas, 20 nays.
So the vote of 20 yeas and 20 nays, the amendment to amendment, or amendment number 5 as amended, has failed to pass the House. Madam Clerk, do you have any other amendments?
I have no further amendments.
That brings the bill back before us in third reading. Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall House Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Bill 2001 Finance amended on the floor of the House, pass the House. Members, please vote. Representative Hawker, there you go. Madam Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
28 yeas, 12 nays.
And so with a vote of 28 yeas and 12 nays, House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 2001 Finance has passed the House. Representative Dahlstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
I'd like to ask for same-day reconsideration.
Effective date first.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call vote on the passage of House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 2001 Finance amended House be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Without objection, the roll call vote on the bill will be the roll call vote on the effective date clause. Representative Roseberg.
I give reconsideration on my vote on House Bill 2001.
Reconsideration has been offered on Senate Bill 2001. Representative Dahlstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would ask that we have that reconsideration today, please.
There is a motion to take up reconsideration on the same day, and there is objection. Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall reconsideration be taken up on the same day? Members, please vote. Let's take a brief at ease. Back to order. Representative Roseberg, restate your motion, please. Oh, the motion's on the floor, I'm sorry. Motion is whether to take up reconsideration on the same day. Members, please vote. Madam Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Representative Gardner? From yea to nay? Yes. Mr. Seaton?
Yea to nay.
Yea to nay?
Mr. Speaker.
President Gruenberg?
Gardner hasn't pushed
your button. President Gardner, you want to push your button? Does anybody else want to change? Has everybody changed it? Representative Gruenberg? Mr. St. Seton. Any other member wish to change his or her vote? Representative Holm?
Yeah, nay.
Any other member? Representative Kelly?
Yea to nay.
Representative Kelly? Okay. Any other member? Representative Wyrock? Any other member? Any other member wish to change their vote? Madam Clerk. Representative Newman? Any other member wish to change their vote? Madam Clerk, please lock the roll. Or we did lock the roll. We already locked it. Madam Clerk, you want to make the roll call?
12 yeas, 28 nays.
So the vote of 12 yeas and 28 yeas, reconsideration on the same day has not been agreed to. Reconsideration will be brought up on tomorrow's calendar. Madam Clerk, are there any other items on today's agenda?
I have no more items on the agenda.
Are there any citations?
No.
Is there any unfinished business?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Madam Clerk wants to read the title of a bill that was read across from the other body and was inadvertently not read.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 2002 Judiciary by the Senate Judiciary Committee entitled, An Act Conferring Original Jurisdiction on the Alaska Supreme Court for the purpose of providing judicial review of a contract executed under the Alaska Stranded Gas Development Act and setting the time in which a final agency decision of the Commissioner of Revenue made under that act, the constitutionality of a law authorizing a contract enacted under that act, or the enforceability of a contract executed under a law authorizing a contract enacted under that act must be legally challenged and by whom, and providing for an effective date.
There, we've got it officially. We've read the title now. Any other unfinished business? Is there any committee announcements? Representative McGuire.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. we give members an opportunity tonight to rest up and read up, and so we'll meet tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. in the House Judiciary Committee Room to take up the original jurisdiction bill again, as opposed to late into this evening.
Thank you very much. Judiciary at 9 a.m. tomorrow. Be on time. Any other committee announcements? Representative Chenault.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Finance will meet tomorrow. I think it's 6 a.m., but I have to check the schedule.
Since you're sleeping in your office, you can be there all the time.
I believe it's either 8 or 9,
Mr. Speaker. 9 o'clock.
Since you're sleeping in your room, you could be there right on time, right? Just 6 a.m. Okay, any other committee announcements? Are there other announcements? Special orders. Representative Stoltz.
Do you speak on the subject of poaching wolves?
Poaching wolves?
Yes, Mr. Speaker.
No objection.
Just very briefly, as you all know here, I'm a big fan of high school sports, and this weekend there's a softball and baseball tournament, and the Eagle River Wolves, it's a school in the district of my friend from 32, in their first year of existence, captured a state title. They're the Eagle River Wolves, the girls' softball team. And Chugiak was playing in the boys' bracket in the championships, and they were beat by the Sitka Wolves, but I want to congratulate all the Wolves.
Any other special orders about Wolves? I mean, about anything? Representative Crawford.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just something that I wanted to mention. Couple of the programs that I thought were really good programs that had nothing but good for the people of this state that we ended state support of a while back. One of them that actually got me into the whole political life was community schools. And we ended state support of the community schools. We ended support of the Alaska Central School, and I've noticed in the last week or two in the newspaper that both of those entities have closed their doors and have gone away. We no longer have community schools, and we privatized them and thought that maybe they might continue to live but they're no longer any community schools, and now Alyeska Central School has also they told everybody to pack their stuff and get out because they were changing the locks. And I think that's a travesty. That's something that we are partly responsible for, and or maybe wholly responsible for. And I think we should come back here for the next session and try to fix what we fouled up. Thank you.
Other special orders? Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the House stand in adjournment until 2 p.m. Sorry, 2 p.m. Monday, June 5th. 2 p.m.
Without objection, then we'll be in adjournment until 2 p.m. tomorrow.